We are in this series during these days. We've changed some things up with regards to what I was initially planning to do for Easter, and we've changed trajectory to where we're talking about sure steps in uncertain times. Because I know there's just a lot of questions rolling around in our mind, and we've just needed a little bit of space to kind of get some equilibrium going in our lives spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and all of that. So this morning, what I want to do is I just want to kind of continue that just a little bit, and I'm going to change direction, Lord willing, next Sunday, and then, of course, on Easter Sunday, that we're going to be, I want us to look, first of all, at the cross, and because of Easter. But not just look at the cross from our perspective, but look at the cross from God the Father's perspective. In other words, when Jesus died on the cross, what was the Father seeing? What was in the Father's mind when our Savior was on the cross? We know what it meant to us. We maybe know what it meant to Satan and the demons of hell. But what did it mean to the Father? And so, what does a cross mean to God the Father? So that's what we're going to look at, Lord willing, next week. And then for Easter, we're going to be talking about the resurrection and just taking maybe a fresh direction on that. And so just be praying for God's blessing and favor in that as we get ready to do that. And also, let me just say again, we're going to continue our tradition of Good Friday Lord's Supper. And so I want to encourage you as a family to just start getting that in your mind. And we'll be coming to you in this type of venue and leading you in taking the Lord's Supper in your own home. It's just a special time for us and our church family, for us, my own personal family. And so we're going to do that. And so I want to kind of begin to thinking about what you want to have together, the crackers, the juice, whatever, however you're going to observe that. And then we'll lead you through that online, and I'll be speaking to you. All right. So this morning we're talking about what is God up to for sure in these days. We've kind of talked about that a little bit, and I'll touch on that as we get along. But let me just kind of lay the groundwork for this with three passages of Scripture from God's Word. And remember, you can go online and get the Life Point outline, especially if you're using our Harmony Hill app. And so I encourage you to do that. As Pastor Todd talked about, get our Harmony Hill app, and that'll just help you follow along in these days, as well as stay up with your church family in the days ahead. So let me read, first of all, from James chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 4. Then we're going to look at Matthew 9:29. So let me turn there. James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. All right, and then Matthew 9, verse 29. Then Jesus touched their eyes, meaning the two blind men that had come to him asking for mercy. And Jesus said, "It shall be done to you according to your faith." All right, Hebrews 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that God is, and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. And then lastly, Romans 14:23. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. Now listen, and whatever is not from faith is sin. And so that's going to be the foundation of what I just want to share with you this morning. I'm going to get into that. But before I do that, I've just been thinking about some things as we're going through these days. I think there's just things that we need to kind of have as top of the mind awareness. And so I just want to kind of speak a few things to you that have come to me during the week. And that is, and this is in your Life Point outline, but number one, be careful during these days about your news sources. And what I mean by that is not everybody out there on the internet or television or social media, I mean, they've all got their opinions, right? But be selective in who you listen to. And the reason is because people have agendas, financial and political, in these days of crisis. So just be careful about who you listen to. Number two, I want you to remember in this day and time, not everyone is at equal risk. So if you're 60 years of age or older, if you've got a pre-existing condition or a compromised physical condition, you are vulnerable. And as part of my church family, or those of you who are listening in, it's important for you to just be careful. Don't live in fear, but just be careful in these days. Remember the phrase that we will remember from here on out, and that is social distancing, right? And so keep that 6-foot distance between people when you're out and around. Number three, remember, this will pass. It's just something for us to think about. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Dear friends, don't be surprised or shocked that you're going through testing. That is like walking through fire. What is God saying? God is simply saying, tough times come, like what we're going through. Remember, this is a broken world. But the confidence of Scripture is, these days come and then they go. And so I just want to encourage you, keep doing those common sense things that we've been talked about. Our healthcare professionals are telling us, this is what can stop the spread of this. And that's what we want. We want to stop its spread so that it dies out and we can get back to what we call normal living. And so these changes aren't going to last forever. And the more we keep doing the right stuff, the sooner that's going to happen. All right, number four, focus on what's unchanging. We know we're in days of change. Our world is going through changes. There are going to be changes here in the Piney Woods. We've already experienced that. We may have changes to our family here on the Hill that we're not even aware of right now. We don't know what's coming, right? But that's not what I want to focus my life on. As God's son, who I have the Holy Spirit living in me, just like you do as his son or his daughter, one of the things we know is our Father's going to be with us. And as God gives us opportunity, as his people, we're going to serve others. We're going to serve each other. We're going to serve others. We're going to serve our city, maybe in ways that we've never thought of or dreamed of before. Remember, the Bible says Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So in these days of change, remember the truth. Focus on that doesn't change. What doesn't change? One of the things I know is I know that my Father loves me. That hasn't changed. He loves you. And he has a love for this community. And that's why he's going to seek to work through us to reach people whose hearts maybe are open now that have not been open because life's just been normal. So when life gets abnormal, people start thinking about eternal things. What hasn't changed is God's call on my life. God's call on your life. Don't let everything that has changed cause us to lose sight of everything in this world that is still the same. And number five, I want you to remember the crux of God's message to us today. And that is, God is going to go with us through these days. Our Father is here with us. These are days of uncertainty. But the thing that gives me peace in my heart every morning when I wake up and every night when I lay down and everything in between is that God is still with me, just like he's always been. One of the things I know, this virus didn't surprise our Father. God knew it was coming. And he is with you. He is with me in these days of challenge and uncertainty. He is with our families, even if some in our families face death and go home to be with the Lord. You and I are not alone. And we have each other. We have each other. And we have the Lord who is ever faithful to us. So I want to encourage you in these days, don't forget about each other. Check on each other. Check on your life group family. Check on those that you maybe are thinking about from our own church family here on the Hill. And if you know somebody has physical challenges, stay in contact with them so that they have that sense that they are not alone in these days. And as you have opportunity, reach out to your neighbors around you and just let them know you're here if they need somebody to help them. This may be one of the greatest ways to witness for Christ and open up doors of opportunity for that, that God has given us in a long time. All right, there are two things that you and I need in these days as followers of the Lord. Number one, and this is what I want to talk about. I need to know every day, I need to know that God is working in the midst of everything. And I think you do as well, just like me. And I need to know what it is that God wants of me. What does God want of me? What does God want of you? And so if you look at your life point outline, the first thing I want you to remember is this. Remember, God is always trustworthy. That is one of the things I thought in this. Father, I want to lift you up in these days. And I think the thing that I needed to focus on and that I want to encourage you is to remember God is trustworthy. That is so important because these days are uncertain. None of us really know what's going to happen in the future. What's going to be taking place in Engine County 2 or 3 weeks from now as the potential spread of this virus goes on? I don't know. You don't know. We don't know what strain's going to be put on our medical community, on our city. These are days that are uncertain. We've got this enemy that we cannot see, COVID-19, and none of us are immune to it. But I think that there is an enemy, if you will, of greater impact than that. And you know what that is? It is the inability to face tomorrow with courage because of doubt. Because you and I have doubt that just keeps knocking at our door, seeking to raise up fear inside of us. And I know that listening to me this morning, I know there's someone out there, you prayed for something and you didn't get it. You didn't get it the way you wanted to, or it hasn't come at all. And so you're wondering, where is God? What's happened? Someone is out there who maybe you've suffered tragedy. You've gone through a really hard time. And the question that you're still wrestling with is, God, I don't understand. Why did you allow that to happen? And what we're going through in these days only exacerbates that question in your mind. And then number three, some of you out there, maybe you acted because you just knew God was leading you to do what you did. And then you did it, and it just crashed around your feet. It didn't take flight. It bombed out. And now maybe there's self-doubt inside of you. There is fear. You are worried. Well, I want you to look at your life point outline. Here's a reality. You can trust a person only to the degree that you know them. And what I'm saying is, for some of us here, our trust in the Father maybe has gotten rattled. And so I just want to kind of bolster that up for you, all right? That's what I want to do this morning. Your ability to trust God is only as strong as how well you know Him. And I want to encourage you about knowing Him. So here's the truth in your outline. The more you know God, the easier it is to trust Him in the dark places of life. Now, I want you to think about that. There are three requirements. If I'm going to trust somebody, there are three things I need. And we need them from God. We need them from anybody. Let me give them to you. I need to know that the person I'm needing to trust will always tell me the truth. If I'm going to trust somebody, I just need to know I can trust them. They're going to tell me the truth. Number two, I need to know that person's going to be fair. In other words, they're going to do what's right. And then number three, that person's got to be reliable, dependable. If I'm going to trust them. Those are just elements of trust that all of us have. Listen to Psalm 33, verse 4. For the word of the Lord, here it is right, it is true, and He is faithful in all He does. Regardless of what is going on in this day, what I want you to understand is our God is faithful. We may not understand what He's doing. Maybe you don't understand what's going on in your life, but God is faithful. And the good question this morning will be, is there anything that God can't do? Yeah, there are some things God can't do. You mean to tell you what God can't do according to Scripture? Number one, God cannot do wrong. He can't. Number two, He cannot lie. God will never lie. And number three, God cannot break a promise. That is the God that I have. I have a Father in heaven who will always tell the truth. He is always going to do what He said He will do. And He can't be anything but faithful to us. And I may not understand how he's working. Why? Because God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. He is not a human being. God is not human. He is supernatural. And God says, understand, I will always be faithful. I will always do what I tell you to do. I will never break a promise. You can trust me. I will never lie to you. You may not understand what I'm doing, but I want you to know what my character is at the core of who I am. I am God. I cannot change. This is who I am. I remember the words of Joshua in Joshua 21:45. Joshua had been through decades there in the promised land of war and battle and struggle. And at the end of all that, this is what he said about the Father. After everything he'd gone through, this is what he said, Joshua 21:45. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel have failed. All came to pass. And I want you to know, there have been a lot of times in my past, in these last 48 years of ministry here on the Hill, I've gone through a lot of dark times. I've gone through a lot of times when I didn't know what the future was. I didn't understand what my next step needed to be. There was a lot of times that it was dark, it was bleak. I maybe couldn't see like 3 feet in front of me, knowing what my next step needed to be. But my Father gave me a promise decades ago when I started this ministry, and his promise to me was, if you will stay with me, if you will walk with me, I will be with you. And I want you to know, God has never failed in all that time. There may be times when I couldn't sense him. There were times when I couldn't feel that he was with me. There were times I could not see what he was doing in my life or in the life of this church. But we are where we are today from that small church that we were decades ago. We are where we are. And I tell you, we're where we are for one reason. It's because the favor and the blessing and the promises of God on this place have consistently gone on year after year, decade after decade. And everything we've gone through all this time, God has been faithful. And that is a testimony of his people down through the centuries. And there's always those things that we don't understand what he's doing, but God is faithful. And that is talked about in the Bible more than almost any other attribute. This crisis has touched all of our lives, but it's different for each of us, I think, from person to person. All of us during these days, we are doing less moving around than we have ever done. Wisdom tells us don't get too close to people, even people that you care about, maybe outside of your immediate family. All of us are home more. Some of us in our church family don't have a job right now, and we want to remember them. If you've got your job is continuing and your income is continuing to come in, you remember there are already people, particularly in our medical community, in our city who are out of work because of elective surgeries being put off during these days. And we want to remember them, those nurses, those workers that are not having income. These are people we need to be praying for, that God's provision will be there for them. And we want to be a family to them in these days, those that are part of our church family here. Some of us have family miles away for whom we're concerned. Some of us in our church family are more susceptible to this virus, and we need to exercise greater social removal. So what does this all mean? Well, we learned last week that when God is shaking things up, there are two clear goals that he has, because this is who he is. And he shows in the word. He said, number one, I'm going to inspect your lives. Let me just kind of give you a recap from last week. We never really know the condition of our walk with God until we are in difficult times. I think if there's anything these days have caused me to do, it's just to rethink about my walk with the Father. And I believe it's done the same thing for you. God inspects us. You know, somebody well said, people are like tea bags. You never really know what's in them until you drop them in hot water. And isn't that the truth? I mean, we never really know where we are in our walk with God until we get in a hard time, until we get into a period of difficulty. And then what is in us begins to come out. We find out how firm, how solid is our walk with the Father. And so here's what God uses: life problems to bring what needs to be changed in our lives up to the surface. so that you and I can see it like God is seeing it. So in these days, you and I are beginning to see the real us. We're beginning to see what the Father has been seeing. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. God explains why Israel went through 40 years in the wilderness. This is what he said. God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years. Here it is. To humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart. Not for God to know, but for them to know whether or not you would keep his commandments. Now listen, in the deserts of life, the joy, the peace, and the comfort of life are removed because we're in a desert. Why? Why does God let us go into desert places? Because God wants us to see if we are following him out of emotion, or we're following him by faith. So here's the insight in your outline. I don't know if I follow God by faith till I don't, listen, have any feelings of his blessing, his favor, or his presence. In other words, you just feel like spiritually you're alone. God, where are you? Why does God let that happen? Because God is doing it not because he's trying to be mean to us, but he wants our faith to grow. And faith is not dependent on feelings. And so God many times will take away all of my emotional support, all of my feelings, to see if I will do the right thing, whether I feel it or not. That's what God is doing in these days. In other words, do you follow Christ? Do you worship the Lord because it's the right thing to do? That's what we do. We are in the Word. We gather to worship with his people. We give to missions. We sacrificially give financially to the church. Not because I feel like it, but because it's the right thing to do. And this season of sickness is a test that will you and I make God first. But then not only is he inspecting us, he is correcting us. Because all of us need course corrections. That's why Isaiah 53 says, all we like sheep have what? Wandered, we have gone astray. So these are days of course correction that God's doing. These are Hebrews 12:26 days. Hebrews 12:26. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth. But now he says, I will not only shake the earth, but the heavens too. And then he tells us why he's doing it. By this, God means that he will sift out everything without a solid foundation. He's talking about my life and your life. And it says, so that only the unshakable things will be left. So these upside down days that we are going through are designed by our Father, who hasn't left us. But these days of uncertainty, not being able to see very far in the future, these are days that sift out of our lives what needs to go. That's what God is doing. These are days of sifting. Some of us need to learn and relearn again the blessing of corporate worship. I tell you what, I have relearned again how much I love corporate worship. Why? Because we haven't been able to do it. I miss you guys not filling up this building. I'm speaking to a lot of empty chairs right now, except for the guys behind the cameras. And so that's what this has done for me. It's just rehearsed that in me. So God's barred us from distractions that have lured us away from him. And for some of you listening, that's what the Father is saying to you. These are days designed to draw some of us back to a life priority of worship. Why? Because we were wandering. Now, that was last week, and as good as that was last week. So I've got something new I want to hit on, all right? Matthew 9:29, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. So here's another truth in your outline. Faith is at the core of any walk and relationship with God. My walk with him is going to be a faith walk. That is the only thing that pleases him. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is not difficult. It's impossible to please God, right? It's not difficult. It's what? It's impossible. So in these days of lack of toilet paper, in these days of fearfulness, in these days of uncertainty, what is God wanting to strengthen? He's wanting to strengthen our faith. That's what he's doing. And faith is not faith unless it stands and it cannot see, but it believes. And so how does God build our faith? I am so glad you asked that question. Let's talk about that. Number two, God builds our faith through difficulties. Through difficulties. 1 Peter 1, verse 6. For a little while, you've had to suffer great and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith may be proved genuine. We're going through these days so that our faith, your faith, is proved to be the real deal and may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus is revealed. In other words, you and I are building up rewards in eternity by how we walk with the Lord during these days. That ought to encourage you. These days are figuring into the rewards we're going to get in glory because we're trusting God even when we can't sense Him or feel Him, but we're trusting Him. We believe Him. Look at the insight in your outline. COVID-19 is here for the child of God to test and prove our faith. I mean, that's just Bible. It's Romans 8 and 28. It says nothing happens in the life of a believer that isn't Father filtered. All right? So it isn't that God sent this. It is that God permitted it, particularly in the lives of His kids. Yeah, there are accidents that come to you and me because we live in a broken world. But God permits those in our life, even though He doesn't send them. I think that's the message of Jonah. Jonah's message in Old Testament scripture, just go back and read that this week. His message is so clear, and that is sometimes God permits or creates problems that swallow us, right? And the outcome is what? Well, listen to what Jonah said. Jonah chapter 2, verse 7. When I lost all, I once again turned my thoughts to God. And that's what God's doing in these days. Well, this is like a Jonah experience. We're being swallowed. Why? So that like Jonah, our thoughts are turned toward Him. So what do we do in difficult days? Well, it's what James says in James 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. What does that mean? Well, look at the truth in your outline. It means, listen, relax. Just relax. God is testing our faith while watching over us in His providential care and plan for our lives. Now, God's plan and care for me may be a little bit different from His provision and care for you. God's got a plan for each one of us. And I want to tell you, I did not say be thankful for these things. I'm not thankful for COVID-19. No, I'm not thankful for it, but I am grateful that I can relax in the midst of these days because this is here in my life. It is affecting me only by my Father's permission, and what it is doing in me fits in His plan for me, and I will see my Father's provision for me. That's what God is wanting you to see. God's going to provide for you. God's going to lead you. And He says, I want you to trust me in these days that I am here. All right? And so God builds our faith in times of difficulty. Number three, God builds our faith with dollars. Not only with difficulty, but also with dollars. Just to rehearse so we remember this, money is one of the greatest tests of faith in our lives. God will use my material possessions or my lack of them to test you. And I've shared with you before. I went through, when Catherine and I were much younger, we went through some real testing times with our finances. God used automobiles to do that. You've heard of those clunkers, those holes in the ground, just black holes that, I mean, I had a car I could not sell because I could not fix it. It would not fix. And it was like I had a car plague and it just would follow me. It would not leave me alone. And the thing that I came to realize, God used that more than anything else just to test my faith in Him. Just to test my faith. I remember going to school one morning, taking the boys to grade school, and it was in this car that was, and I was driving along, and all of a sudden it started its deal. just this thing that I couldn't get fixed with it. And I was so frustrated. And I remember I reached out and I hit the dashboard with my fist. And I said, God, this isn't fair. This isn't fair. And the second time I hit that dashboard, it split. The dashboard split. Just this hairy crack right in the middle of my dashboard. It's just like I could hear God say, you want to hit it again? Let's see how big we can make the hole. Are you going to trust me? I will never forget that morning. And all I'm simply saying is God uses material things in our life to test our character, whether we have a lot or whether we have a little. So here's the insight. Most people have no idea that God tests every one of his kids with money problems and challenges. And I would add to that, he also tests you with money abundance, when you've just got abundance. Luke 16:11, Jesus said, if you haven't been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, money, who will trust you with true riches? And so God is simply saying, there is this connection between your walk with God and how you handle money. So let me just kind of zero on that. Here's the truth. God will not anoint and bless a man or woman like he would bless them if God cannot trust that man or woman to do what God wants to do with that money through him or her. God needs to be able to trust you. If I give you wealth, can I trust you or will you leave me? Will you get caught up in the things of the world? So here's the insight. What you do with your money determines how much God can bless you. So every time I sit down and write out a check for my tithes, and I'm grateful for all of you who give online. Nothing in the world wrong with that. I'm just saying for me, it is good for me to sit down and I physically fill out a check. It is just part of my ritual and my walk with God. And Catherine and I do 10% of our income plus, we give our offering. We have done that ever since we've gotten married. And so it's a habit of our lives. Whatever we're going through physically or emotionally or spiritually, we do that. Because I learned this truth at the early part of our life. And so I make out those checks. I give it to the church week in and week out. And there have been those times in my life knowing that I was giving money that could be used to pay bills. It could be used to take care of stuff that's breaking around my house. And I'm maybe going to have to be looking at going into debt those things. And so it's what is it? God's testing my faith. And he's done that for years. And I want to be blessable. I want God to be able to bless me financially. I want to be able to give more to missions. I want to be able to give more to the church. Well, in order for me to be able to do that, in order for me to be able to help other people, I've got to be trustworthy. God has got to be able to trust me. John, if I bless you, are you going to swallow a stupid pill on me? Are you just going to go crazy? And you're going to take the money and you're going to start doing everything that you want to do. And you're not going to do what I want you to do with that. Missions is my priority. Meeting the needs of hurting people. That's my priority. The work of my church in this world. That's my priority. And if you just start living for you, then I can't trust you. I can't use you. I don't want God saying that about me. And I don't want him saying that about any of you. And so 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7 says, this is from the Living Bible, I want you to be leaders in the spirit of cheerful giving. Listen, this is one way to prove that your love is real and that it goes beyond mere words. One of the ways I prove I love God is that week in, week out, month in, month out, regardless of what is going on in my life, I give back to my Father. Why? Because one of the most important things in my life is my money. That's how I buy food for my wife. It's how I provide for my kids. I give to my grandkids. That is very important. If I don't have that, I can't do that. And so God wants to know, do you love me? And so here's the truth in your outline. Tithing and giving prove our love for Christ. We tithe to obey, we tithe because we love, and we tithe to open the door of blessing to our daily lives. And I just want to say here, I want to thank all of you out there in these days of change, in these days of uncertainty. Thank you for all of you who have been mailing in your offerings, who have been going online and you've been giving. Why? Because the work of the church keeps going. There are missionaries who are counting on us to keep giving to missions around the world. The missionaries that we support ourselves that are in different parts of the world, they count on us being faithful. We are their lifeline. And so in these days, as God provides for you, be faithful. Keep giving. Don't forget that. It is part of our life. As much as reading the Word of God, as much as worshiping, giving to His enterprises, that the Word can keep spreading is part of what you do. Because the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so that brings me then to number four. God builds our faith with delays. In every challenge, every prayer, every need, every problem, if they were solved immediately, what would be the need for faith, right? I just want you to think about that. Faith would be needless. And the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So let me ask you a question. Are you like me in that, you know, in these days that we're in, you're already emotionally tired? I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, I am. I just get emotionally tired just because of the days here. These are days that are draining. They're wearisome. There's no particular end in sight. We don't know when this is going to end. And so that just kind of brings you to a point. And I thought, you know, I just might as well own it. So let me just kind of give you a personal confession publicly. It's going out. And that is, all right, you ready for it? Here it is. I am naturally impatient. There, I said it. And let me tell you how. When I'm driving around town, and I'm coming to a red light, and there's two lines of cars, right? So I'm coming up to this. Every time, I've got this judgment thing going on inside of my mind. What's happening? I'm thinking, which one do I think when that light turns green is going to move the quickest? Can I get a testimony? Don't judge me, all right? I think there's hands going up all over the audience this morning. That's the way I do. I mean, every time I get in the line that I think is going to be the quickest. The reality is, it is hard to wait. It is difficult. It's not an easy thing. Sometimes you're easier than others. But here's the truth in your outline. God grows our faith during forced times of waiting. Remember that? What he said in Deuteronomy 8 and 2, God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to test you in order to know what was in your heart. And so here's like a closing question. How are you handling this waiting season? Maybe you're not easy to live with. That ought to be telling you something. It's been going on for a while. We don't know how long this is going to go. And so this is a test that God's doing us. He's testing our faith. God is watching our response to forced waiting. How are you behaving? The reality is, however you are behaving with your family, with people that you maybe work with because life is upside down, there's no sports to watch, you know, you can't go to the show, you can't get out and go eat, you know, all that good stuff that we enjoy, those diversions, they're gone. And it's like, how long is this going to go on, for crying out loud, right? All of that is a reflection of our relationship with Him. That we have to realize God is saying, I have prescribed a time of being still. How are you with that? Is that okay with you? Because God is saying, this works in to my plan. Trust me. And so that's what the Lord is saying. It's Isaiah 64, verse 4. God acts on behalf of those who wait for Him. I want to encourage you in these days, just wait on the Lord. Wait on Him. These are days that you can say, Father, by faith, I'm going to continue to be a giver. Or maybe you're going to say, and you realize these are days that have reminded you, you haven't been a giver. You've been using every material thing that God has given you. You've been using it for you. You haven't thought about God's enterprise in this world. Missions. Helping to feed people that we do here on the hill. The things that we do to keep reaching out in the name of Christ. That you would say this morning, Father, from this point on, in this crisis, I'm going to be a faithful giver. I will give to my family on the hill that we can continue doing what we do in this city and around the world. And Father, number two, I will, by your grace, wait patiently. I will wait on you as we go through these days. And number three, by your grace, I'm just going to relax. I'm just going to relax inside of me in these days of uncertainty. Why? Because Father, you are trustworthy. God's trustworthy. That's my message. That's what I believe is God's word to us. And I pray that it will give you something this week to work on, to think on, to pray about, to just study, that you will keep your life point outline close to you as you go through this week. Because for me, this is God's word for us in these days. So as we get ready to close, remember the Harmony Hill app. That's where you can go. Pastor John Richardson is and others are making devotionals available every day. You can go online and read those. They'll be just really encouraging to you. You can do your giving online, or you can put your tithe, your offering, your gifts, and mail them into us. And our address, I think probably everybody already knows that, but you can go online and find our address. And so remember that. And also remember, during these days, remember our motto, our statement in these days. We obey Christ by sacrificially serving others for the advancement of the gospel. Look for those doors that God is going to give you to minister to somebody else in the name of Jesus. Look for those open doors to speak to somebody about Jesus and the security and the certainty that you have in these days because God is with you. Father, thank you for this morning. God, thank you for your presence in these days, that you never leave us nor forsake us. And you are teaching us, God, how you want to our lives to realign in these days. These are days that draw us back and put us on point. These are days that refocus our lives, recalibrate the days that we're going through. And may that bring glory and honor and pleasure to you, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for listening in.